Welcome back. Updates on the Bright Revival. I'd love to ask you, sir, a very vital question at this point of time. Is the bride of Christ, are we in the midst of a revival presently?
Are we in the midst of a revival?
Yes, sir.
Maybe we'll have to redefine revival.
Okay.
Because revival is awakening.
Yes, sir.
It's another word for awakening.
Amen.
Bringing back to life that which was but was dead.
Amen.
And so, are we in the midst of a revival? Yes, we are in the midst of a revival. When we're talking about the bride, we're talking about those who are prepared for home going.
Amen.
For the marriage of the Lamb.
Amen.
The bride is in the midst of a revival. What was dead before it is being brought to life? It is the corn of wheat that died when
Hallelujah.
It was planted, amen. According to the law of planting.
Amen and amen.
We have been saying this over and over and over and over here to make the people understand the mystery of redemption. You see, we are talking about the seed that was planted that died, and that what killed the plant, that seed is the church that was planted on earth here on the day of Pentecost. That was the ushering in of the new covenant church. And it started with the apostolic ministry.
Amen.
That became our patriarch, spiritual patriarch. Jacob, for the nation of Israel, is the nation of Israel. Is the natural church. And it started with 12 patriarchs, sons of Jacob. 12 of them.
Yes, sir.
That formed the nation of Israel.
Amen.
The New Testament church is about to start again.
Hallelujah.
And we are starting again with 12 disciples.
Amen.
12 apostles.
Amen.
That is the apostolic ministry.
Amen.
And so here we are. That church, the foundation was laid and the building was started on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
That is when the seed for that church was planted. But it died. What gave rise to it? It's what Jesus Christ himself gave in a parable.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 13, verse 33.
Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33 says,
yes.
Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened.
So, and what is that meal? Oh, glory
the word
be
of
to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is that meal? Something just striking me now.
Amen and amen.
Sorry. Okay, I'll get back to it.
Hallelujah.
Now, what is that meal? I mean, remember, this is a prophecy. Or rather, a parable. What is it? It is the 3 works of grace, the 3
amen.
Measures of meal. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen and amen.
That meal... I mean, it was corrupted. It is the 3 works of grace that was destroyed. That is how until the whole meal for salvation, the word of God for salvation, died. So when you talk of revival, it is the restoration of these 3 works of grace.
Bringing to life.
Bringing it back to life is called revival of the bride.
So revival can be, your revival is synonymous with restoration.
Yes.
Okay.
It is, revival is restoration. Nothing more.
Amen.
Of that which was but died and is being brought back to life.
Okay, wow.
So now your question is the bride
presently in the midst of any revival or revival?
I've been saying this over and over and over again, that you will understand, if you understand the building of the church and the restoration ministry, which was spoken here several times, the picture is clearly seen in the parable Christ himself gave in Mark chapter 4 and verse 26.
Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Okay.
The day preachers, Bible students will catch this, the mystery of redemption is made clear here.
And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground.
And it was cast on the day of Pentecost.
And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade.
Now, it is time now, that seed that fell on the ground must first die.
Amen.
After it is dead, there is a life in there. I have explained this several times. I don't want to digress too far so that I answer your questions. The life begins to come out again. That life that was planted, that died, the seed that was planted, is the same seed that will be harvested.
That's right.
If only Christians will take note of this, then you will understand why we frown against people saying there's a new anointing. Yes, it's a new anointing if it is properly applied. But to make it look as if it is some other invention, there is this, the same old Holy Ghost, is the same seed that was planted that Christ is coming to harvest. How do I emphasize this, Olumide?
Amen.
The church that was planted on the day of Pentecost produced the New Testament Bible that God preserved for us to get a proper picture. That apostolic church that was set in order, it is that same church that Christ is coming to harvest. There must be nothing new.
Amen.
Listen, there must be nothing new. The newness now will only be further revelation. And no revelation must contradict the Bible.
Amen.
And that is why in Galatians chapter 1, attempts were made even at that time from verse 6. Galatians. This is what Apostle Paul told the Galatians.
Yes. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
That's why I said there is no new anointing. There is no other gospel. There is nothing we should introduce. Nothing new. Nothing. Absolutely nothing new. But what?
Which is not another.
Yes.
But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel
Any
of Christ.
Any other thing you have now is a perversion of the gospel. The certainty is verse 8.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Now, go on.
As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Hi.
This is serious.
Do you now understand Matthew 7:21?
Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Very popular verse that says, not everyone that seeth unto me, Lord, Lord,
can we go back a little to verse 13?
Okay. From verse 13, Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate.
Okay.
For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction.
Uh-huh.
And many there be which go in thereat.
Uh-huh.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it.
You see? Now, my emphasis now, the next verse 15.
Beware of false prophets.
You see? So I link Galatians 1 to this scripture now.
Amen. Which come unto you in sheep's clothing.
Do you know why it say beware of false prophets?
Why, sir?
I'm sorry. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm coming back here.
Yes, sir. 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Verse 4.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus.
You see?
Whom we have not preached.
Another Jesus.
And if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted.
So there is another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit.
Amen.
Go back there. So you understand chapter 7, Matthew, and verse 15.
Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing.
Yes.
But inwardly, they are ravening wolves.
Uh-huh.
Ye shall know them by their fruits.
They come in sheep clothing. But inwardly, they are what?
Ravening
wolves. Ravening wolves. They are coming to devour. And when you talk about devouring, it's not coming to attack your business. It's to devour your faith. Mm. That is the meaning of seducing spirit. Where do we find that? 1 Timothy chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
Verse 1, verse 2.
Now, the spirit speaketh expressly.
2 Timothy. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's the scripture.
That in the latter times.
Now in the latter times, that's the scripture.
Some shall depart from the faith.
Doing what?
Giving it to seducing
spirits. They'll be giving
spirits.
Heed to, that is listening to seducing spirits.
And doctrines of devils.
Doing what?
Speaking lies in hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with the hot iron.
And this is the age that we are in now. What are they seducing? To take you away from the faith. That is the ravening wolves. That is the same spirit Jude was talking of, verse 3.
Jude, Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 3.
Yes.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Now, the next verse.
For there are certain men
crept in
unawares,
you see,
who were before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Uh-huh.
Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
So you understand Matthew 7:15 now.
The Epistle of Jude and Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets.
How do they come?
Which come unto you in sheep's clothing.
They come in sheep clothing.
But inwardly, they are ravening wolves.
Go back to verse 13 again. Of 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13 says,
yes.
For such are false apostles.
False apostles.
Deceitful workers.
Okay.
Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Uh-huh.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Satan is, you see now, disguising as an angel of light. Go on.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers
Satan
of righteousness.
Satan has ministers.
Mm.
Chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 15 again.
Beware of false prophets.
Okay.
Which come to you in sheep's clothing.
Uh-huh.
But inwardly, they are ravening wolves.
Go on.
Ye shall know them by their fruits.
By their fruits.
Do men gather grapes of thorns?
Okay.
Or figs of thistles?
Okay.
Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit.
Uh-huh.
But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
Uh-huh.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit.
Uh-huh.
Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Now listen. The fruit here. Listen. That is the identification. The ravening wolves there is not coming to devour your health. Mm. It's not coming to devour your business, your finance.
Mm.
It's your faith.
Amen.
That's why I read all this to see where he is.
That's right.
When the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, am I correct?
Mm. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
It's not your business, though.
Hmm.
People are misunderstanding this. Pentecostals go to the mountain. That is not what he's seeking to devour.
Hmm.
He's seeking to devour your faith.
Amen.
Whom resist?
Yes, verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren than in the world.
See.
I hear you, sir.
I wish I have time to emphasize this.
Mm.
The only thing that Satan is after is your faith. Mm. And your faith is determined by your understanding of who Jesus is.
Amen.
Understanding his divine agenda. That is why we have Bibles with all manner of interpretations, watering down anything that has to do with the building up of your faith. What Satan is after is your understanding of that divine agenda. We are saying it is the end time, the end time, the end time, the end time. Which ministries are springing up now?
Prosperity and deliverance.
Do you see teaching ministry? At this time, like, shouldn't it be teaching ministry?
True, sir.
But what I see now?
Prophetic ministries, deliverance ministries, that's prosperity all. Ministries.
That's all. Nothing more than that. Mm. Now, unknown to them, Satan has shifted them away from their faith. That's what Apostle Paul says, examine yourself if you be in the faith.
Mm. Is Jesus still with you?
And I preach that sermon. Is That's Jesus right. still with you?
True, sir. Mm.
So if I'm going to ask, you know...
Answer?
Answer your question again. We continue.
Yes, sir.
I have to give you this. That it is that same church that was planted that Christ is coming out for.
So there must be a revival.
You know why I shake my head?
Why, sir?
What is the destiny of a Christian?
To be like Jesus.
What is the meaning of ambition? I say ambition is the pursuit of destiny.
Yes, sir. Of vision.
Of vision, I mean to say. And your vision determines your destination, your destiny.
Yes, sir.
The pursuit of vision is called ambition.
Amen.
Take note of that. Now, without vision, the people perish. Because if you have nothing you are looking at, oh, thank you, Olumide, for bringing this. Give me the opportunity to say this. Now, if you don't have, without vision, the people perish. Because if you have no vision, there will be no ambition.
That's right.
Now, and when there is no vision, then you are aimless. Go here, you go here, go here, you go here, you go here, you go here. The person is unstable on all his ways because he's not focused. So he has nothing to contend for. Mm. Now, the destiny of a Christian, for instance, the destiny of a Christian is to conform to the image of Christ. Let's read the sort of some people, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29.
Romans 8 verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
What is our destiny, therefore?
To be conformed to the image of his son.
Your destiny is to be a millionaire.
Yes, sir, to be like Jesus.
Every Christian, whatever it is, listen.
Yes, sir.
Ah, may God help us.
Amen.
Whatever it is in life you have, understand why Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all other things will follow. Mm. But people these days, they are pursuing all other things before they will come and serve, before they come and start looking for Christ. If your destiny, let me talk to serious Christians. If you know that the purpose of the cross, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is to become like Jesus. Where would be your focus? Would be in the image of Christ.
Amen.
You'll be so focused there that every day you have a measurement by the picture you have.
That's right.
If this was what our pursuit was, Christianity would be better than what it is now. Now, we're talking about a seed that was planted, the farmer. The farmer planted a crop, a seed. Maybe rice, or maybe what's the commonest one? Maize.
Yes, sir.
In this part of the world. Now, when he plants it, he has a picture already of what he planted. He's not going to talk of harvest until that seed.
Amen.
Anything less, it's not yet harvest.
That's right.
Now, if that is the church that was planted, it was destroyed. You want to go in the rapture, and you have seen a picture of how what the church was. You are now into the ministry. You have already gotten a pattern in doctrine, in word, in life, in everything. That will be the vision you will have. If you are going to go in the rapture, this is rapture watch.
Amen.
Then that's what you'll be watching. That's the picture you have. That's the vision you have. And that is what we are telling the people. This is the picture of the church of Jesus Christ. It died after it was planted. That is what is depicted by the third horse rider in Revelation chapter 6.
That's right.
We have explained that over and over and over in this program.
Yes, sir.
Now, when he died there, there is a statement there in verse 7.
Revelation chapter 6 and verse 7.
Okay, verse 5 and 6, yes.
And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. And I heard a voice.
What did he see?
A black horse.
Okay.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny.
And that is the picture, the identity of the Dark Ages.
Yes, sir.
And Dark Ages, that is when the word of God was completely corrupted. That is when that woman took those 3 measures of meal and then corrupted until the whole church, all the doctrines were all dead. Then he said what?
And see, thou art not the oil and the wine.
That means in the midst of that
darkness,
there's going to be a revival.
Revival. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
For anybody hearing me for the first time, there will be a revival.
Amen.
That is what oil and wine signifies.
Glory.
Holy Ghost revival.
Amen and amen.
That revival is the bride's revival because that is what was ignited in Matthew 25.
Matthew chapter 25.
Yes.
Verse 1. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
To meet the bridegroom.
And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
Because there's going to be oil. Oil means Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Lamps is the word of God. Yes.
Amen. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet
him. That is the bride's revival.
Amen.
You see, they slumbered. They slept. Come back to life. That is the bride's revival.
Are you saying this is the revival that is on presently?
That is the revival that is the first stage of the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend with what?
With a shout.
That shout is the midnight cry. At midnight, there was a cry made. That is the bride's revival. The revival that moves the bride from the dark ages. And it moves them, because your question, are we in the midst of it? We're in the midst of it. Move on. Until that seed that died at Nicaea
is formed.
And James called it the precious fruit of the earth.
Hallelujah.
In James chapter 5 and verse 7.
Amen. James 5:7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth.
You see, that precious fruit of the earth is the same fruit that was planted, but died under the dark ages. That precious fruit of the earth. And that is what he was waiting for before you take the sequel in Mark chapter 4 and verse 29.
Mark 4, 29. But when the fruit is brought forth.
When the fruit that was planted now.
The precious fruit.
The precious fruit.
Hallelujah.
Is brought forth. What happens?
Immediately, he put it in the sickle.
Why?
Because
the rapture is come. Don't you know how to read? Because the rapture is come.
Amen.
And we are a product of the restoration ministry.
Mm. Amen.
So yes, the revival is on now.
Oh, okay. This is a very, you spent so much time analyzing and bringing out the picture.
So that people just, like you will catch the
just to answer
picture.
One question. Is the bride in the midst of a revival?
We are, yes.
And the pastor has answered, yes, the bride is in the midst of a revival, the bride's revival. Mm-hmm. But I am still to add some little toppings, icing on the cake. What will you call this revival? Is there any terminology for it? Are there terminologies for this revival?
Mm. When you say terminologies, that is the process, the stages it passes through. Remember that it is a restoration revival.
Amen.
You know, and what are you restoring? The three works of grace that were destroyed in Matthew 13:33.
Yes, sir.
So that is why you will notice that they are in four stages in Mark chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
Now, what is the first stage that comes out?
The blade.
The next one.
The ear.
The next one.
The full corn in the ear.
And the third one.
The fruits.
So, you can see that they are in four stages. Now, so, you discover that what is we look at history. That the first revival that succeeded the dark ages, that pulled the people out of the dark ages, was spearheaded by Luther. And I want you to note that Revelation chapter 4, there are four beasts there.
That's right.
And these four beasts, each was countering each of those four horse riders. The first beast was what? The lion.
The lion.
Verse
7.
For the purpose of emphasis.
Revelation chapter 4 and verse 7. And the first beast was like a lion,
uh-huh.
And the second beast like a calf, mm-hmm. And the third beast had a face as a man,
mm-hmm.
And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle.
So now I want you to note, the first beast is a lion.
Yes, sir.
It was the one that countered the white horse rider.
That's right.
That is the first horse rider. Yes, first horse rider. There are four horse riders in Revelation chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
Three of them, the first three, cover the seven church ages.
That's right.
The second beast was what?
The ox, calf.
The calf. It that's the one that countered
the red horse rider.
The red horse rider. We have spoken all that here. You can go back to our past episodes. The third one was what?
The face as a man.
Now, it was the face as a man. This time, it was not any animal.
Mm.
The beast was like the face of a man. Why is it under the third? Let's read it again. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5.
Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5.
Yes.
And when he had opened the third seal,
uh-huh.
I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse.
Uh-huh.
And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say.
Now, where I'm going is this. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say. Remember that this is now the third beast that we'll be talking.
Yes, sir.
The third beast, it says what?
The
third beast is what?
The face as a man.
It's the face as a man. Why did he say this one is the face as a man? Because this period, he is going to now use men in different stages.
Mm.
Remember what he said in John chapter 6, verse 28 and verse 29.
John chapter 6 and verse 28 and 29 says, Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?
What will you do to be approved of God? Mm. What will you do that you'll be acceptable by God?
Jesus answered and said unto them,
And that is God's righteousness for any given moment.
Hallelujah. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
You are to believe on him
whom he hath sent.
He sent Jesus.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus also sent Amen. His disciples.
Amen.
And the Holy Glory. Spirit is sending his disciples.
Glory.
So when it was time for restoration, it was the face of a man because he's going to use men. Mm. And I want you to know that it was not the face of a woman.
That's right.
It was the face of a man.
Glory.
Okay. So what is the first man that he used? It was Luther.
Martin Luther. Mm.
You Amen. See, what was his message? Was justification. That is the blade in Mark chapter 4.
Chapter 4, verse 26.
Then we have John Wesley took over.
The, and that man.
It increased to the ear. Then he restored, what was his own? Your holiness. Sanctification. The second work of grace. Then the restoration of the gifts.
That's right.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Who was the one that spearheaded it?
Simon.
That black man, William Simon, in the Azusa Street revival that we all know because we are product of that ministry.
Glory, hallelujah.
And it took place in 1906 by that man, William Simon. William Branham acknowledged him.
Amen.
And all theologians acknowledge him.
Amen.
As the man that spearheaded this.
The Azusa Street revival.
Yes. And there is something that you will allow me say here for the sake of the followers of the minister William Branham. Mm. And it is a big test of our integrity. I'm telling you, that is the truth. We are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. The Bible says so. Every time William Branham, in these messages he preached in different times, and all of us, followers of that ministry, yes, will acknowledge the input of
Martin Luther
for justification, a man. Another name is given for sanctification, John Wesley.
Yes, sir.
But when it comes to Pentecost, the restoration of the third work of grace, the return of the gifts, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you will see where I say something is wrong and needs to be corrected. Now, let me give you an example. Now, this is from a message preached in 1965 by William Branham. He titled it, God's Only Provided Place of Worship. In that message, in paragraph 90, he said, well, that's the way, I'm quoting.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's the way it is in this age that we are living in. You've got to find what is God's way of doing it for this age. That's what Martin Luther found. That's what John Wesley found. Then, that's what Pentecostals found in their age. God's age and time to do it.
Wow.
Now, catch something here. Why do you mention Luther?
That's right. Wesley.
Wesley. Then you mention Pentecost. Pentecost is the name of which man? Something is wrong here. Mm. It's William Seymour.
That's right. That's right.
Now, let me read on. Paragraph 91.
Now, the same sermon?
The same sermon. Now, the Pentecostals, that brother, one, I believe one of his eyes was out, a color brother who really, can you see it here? Really started the Pentecostal message.
He acknowledged it.
He acknowledged it in California, the old Azusa Street. He said he was laughed at because he was a Negro, a black man. He was made fun of, but he brought a message of that age.
For that age.
What is wrong with us?
Brought a message for that age.
He brought a message for that age. Just a little body, a fellow, could hardly sign his own name. But the Lord had revealed to him that this was the age of the restoration of those gifts. and they come. No matter what said, it come. But everybody got in the atmosphere of it and seen it was that age. And seen God vindicating that those people could speak with us and so forth, it happened. But then, when he went and pinned it down, that this is the only evidence that killed it. Then they started separating this, that, and making denomination. And one come on a cloud and the other come, so that you will now see why we needed a perfect ministry.
Ministry. That's right.
Now, not only this, I need to say this again. Mm. Now, you will notice that William Branham acknowledged him so much that in this quote, William Branham went to William Simon's meeting to receive the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
Oh, paragraph 184 of the message he preached in 1953. The cruelty of sin and the penalty that it cost to rid sin from our lives. That is the title of the sermon. In paragraph 184, he said, oh, I know how hard it was that night when I walked in that little old colored mission out there. And all the white folks standing around there said, there he goes into a colored mission. It was hard. I woke up there with a whole lot of Kentucky pride in me like that. But God said, if you want it, walk right on in there. And I walked right in there and knelt down to an altar. And there I stayed until the lamb. I died to old self, Billy Abraham, 20 years ago. Hallelujah.
Amen.
William Abraham received the Holy Ghost under William Simon.
That's right. That's right.
And in paragraph 75, he repeated it in another message in 1959.
Hmm.
He titled, what is the Holy Ghost? Paragraph 75. He said, Luther walked in one light.
Hmm.
Wesley walked in another. Wesley walked in one light. He said, Pentecost walked in another.
Pentecost.
You see?
Hmm.
I don't know why he would prefer to not to call William Simon's name. Maybe, Lumide, you know why. Yeah, because it's interesting. I feel very curious over this.
Mm, maybe it's an oversight.
And here you see, he acknowledged, but we are working on higher than that today.
Ooh.
And there's going to be another generation. It will go beyond us.
That's right.
So you can see that he acknowledged that he was beyond Simon.
That's right.
Which is the fourth stage of that growing seed.
That's right.
Which is the fruit producing, the perfecting ministry.
Amen.
So now you will notice that these stages, they are all revivals, taking us higher. And that's why the message titled The Pools.
Yes, sir.
You see, pulling from the dark ages gets you higher, 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 until you reach the perfection and the sequel is put, the rapture takes place.
Amen.
So what's your question again?
Wow. So I asked, what will you call this revival? You said it's the restoration revival, and you're bringing out clearly that it's in stages.
Yes.
Four stages.
Yes. We are now in the perfecting stage.
The perfecting
that
stage.
That stage beyond the Pentecost.
Hmm.
Because you saw all of them had loopholes that we need to tie, what we call the loopholes, tie them together, you know, bring all the word that was still lost here and here so that we have exact picture of what the seed was.
Amen.
When it was planted.
Mm. Wow. This same revival is the midnight cry?
That is the shout.
The shout?
Yes.
It's all restoration.
Exactly.
And restoration is in four stages. This is very interesting. Thank you very much.
And this same revival is the Jordan stage.
In the journey of Elijah.
In the journey of Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 2.
Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 1 to 10.
2 Kings chapter number 2. Mm. Yes.
From Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho and Jordan.
Yes. Now let's read them.
From verse 1?
Yes.
2 Kings chapter 2 and from verse 1.
Uh-huh.
And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal.
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Mm-hmm. So they went down to Bethel.
Uh-huh.
And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry ye, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet that were Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry ye, I pray thee, Elisha, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided either and either, so that they two went over on dry ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou seest me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, it shall not be so.
Now we know the rest of the story. Maybe just complete verse 11.
And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven.
Into heaven. Now, we can see a beautiful type here. Now we know that after the rapture takes place in the third seal, under the black horse rider.
That's right.
I've been saying it. It is after then that the gospel will go back to Israel. And while it is going back to Israel, then that covenant, deceitful covenant with the Antichrist is entered into, which is the fourth seal, the deception. That is the pale horse rider. And what is it that countered it?
The flying eagle. Yes, sir.
Now we know that the Moses and Elijah anointing in Revelation chapter 11.
Yes, sir.
That is the anointing there. And we know that during the persecution, it was on the two wings of a great eagle. That is the revelation of Moses
and Elijah,
and that their ministry let them know where to be.
That's right.
And then when the persecution, the Antichrist persecution will take place. But after the bride goes, which is what Elijah types. Take note. Elijah types the bride going home. Because the bride before going home, we go through four different stages depicted by Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan. Why did God do four times? Hey, sending me to Bethel. It is the one that moved us from justification.
That's right.
To sanctification. Will you move with him?
Amen.
He's the one that kept moving to Bethel, to Gilgal. Jericho.
Gilgal,
from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel
to Jericho,
from Jericho
to Jordan.
And it was at Jordan,
amen and amen,
that he left. Glory. But watch it. When he left, he dropped a revival back.
Hallelujah.
And who is Elisha? Elisha symbolizes, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Am I correct?
Amen.
That Elijah anointing that he still leaves behind. It is Elijah anointing. It is a revival and it is a double fold.
Glory, hallelujah.
It is a double fold anointing.
Moses and Elijah.
Moses and Elijah. Because it's a double fold.
Hallelujah.
Anointing. That after the rapture takes place, that is what the anointing that is left behind.
Amen.
So that you understand, that is what you see in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 11.
Verse 11.
Yes.
And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
When did they prophesy before? At Pentecost.
Yes, sir.
He said, you prophesy again. That is what it types.
Yes, sir.
So what will you call the revival for the bride now? It is a home-going revival. It is the perfecting revival.
Amen.
That is why I call it the latter rain. Now, because it will be a double portion. A double portion. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
It will be a double portion that Elisha will receive after Elijah is gone. That is what you saw in Hosea chapter 6, verse 2.
Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2. Okay, it says, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day.
Chapter 6. Go on, yes.
In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord.
Exactly.
His going forth is prepared as the morning, and it shall come unto us as the rain.
Notice how we do it.
As the latter and former rain unto the earth.
Can you see that it's a double anointing that will come upon them? So there will be a great revival.
Amen.
After the rapture takes place.
Amen.
For the Jews. That is what Elisha types.
Elisha's revival. Glory.
Elisha is not a type of the bride.
At all.
It doesn't fit in.
Of course, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. That's how we taught it also in the Sunday school.
Okay, in the Sunday school.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm not your student.
You're my teacher. Okay, sir. Thank you for this beautiful explanation. The bride has a revival. The bride is in the midst of a revival.
Yes.
The revival is both the midnight cry, the shout, is restoration. And we are at that final stage of the restoration, the perfecting stage. Okay?
Let me quickly, I don't know what question you want to ask, but I think I should make this clarification. When we talk about the culmination of this revival, we spoke about the rapturing faith. The rapturing faith is a product of a revival.
Okay.
That's what I want you to note. And there is always something that ignites it. If he uses in every stage, he uses men. Then there is also going to be a message. Now, I want you to watch something.
The rapturing faith is a product of a revival.
It's a product of a revival. It is that revival that produces that faith.
Okay.
That translates, that causes the body change. Because we are talking about update.
Yes, sir.
Let's move a little further.
Okay.
Now, because we seem to be forgetting this part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. Let's read it again.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16.
Yes.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
The first stage is a shout.
With the voice of the archangel.
Which is the seven thunders to the dead.
To the dead.
And but what is the process? The dead in Christ
rise first.
And that is after the voice of the archangel.
Yes, sir.
But when the dead rise first, we always say, then we will have, that gives us the rapturing faith when we see the dead. But we forgot there is another stage.
Yes, and with the trump of God.
Now, what is the trumpet? The trumpet is Numbers chapter 10, verse 1.
Numbers 10, verse 1.
Yeah.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee 2 trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps.
Now, this is my understanding. It is for what?
The calling of the assembly.
The calling of the assembly.
And for the journeying of the camps.
So that we journey. Now, a journey is about to take place to go up. Therefore, there will be a trump. But, brethren, I am not expecting that there will be a trumpet that we shall hear. The reason is because the natural Israel were schooled. They were always gathered together by a literal trumpet. There were trumpets. I also believe that this trump here that we gather us, the trump that we gather us, remember, Christ has been gathering his people. It is for the journey. It is for the journey.
Yes, sir.
When we move from justification to sanctification, it was a trumpet. Symbolically, it was a man he used. And remember that until we go in the rapture, he's going to use men, the face of a man. Therefore, I believe that by the time that those dead in Christ will rise, we shall see them, so that we will not be confused. There will be ministries that will be telling us, this is what is happening, this is what is happening, so that we will not...
To the trump of God are men also.
Men that we preach.
How do you bring in Matthew 24 verse 31?
Read it.
And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet.
Yes.
And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Now, I want you to note something. Now, watch it. Matthew, read that place. Oh, glory be to God.
And he shall send his angels.
When? Read it before and say something.
Okay, he's speaking of the coming from verse 30, and then shall appear
the Son of Man. Which scripture are you reading?
Matthew chapter 24.
Matthew chapter number 24. Yes, read on. Read it.
Okay, my emphasis is verse 31.
Before you read verse 31.
Okay, let me take it from verse 27.
Now, wait. Take it from verse, thank you very much, so that we catch what is happening. From verse 29.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days.
Read it, because I want to show you something here.
Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
Then we'll do what?
Shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
Uh-huh.
And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn.
Now, this place is what takes place even after the tribulation. This is not this catching away.
Yes, sir.
That is a different trump.
Yes, sir.
By the time we come here, we have already gone.
Another trump.
So this trump now is to fulfill Revelation 19. Because we are now to come back with him and rule on earth.
So that's to gather Israel.
It is now, because when we are up there, awaiting the 7 years to be fulfilled, when he's dealing on earth here, then we are getting our crowns there, getting ready to come. We are scattered everywhere, enjoying ourselves. A trumpet will sound, we will have known. Something, some message will go. That all of us will now come, it's time to come back to earth.
Okay, that's the meaning of that one.
That is the meaning
that's
of that
for
one.
The bride in glory.
For the bride in glory to come together, ready to come down. And when we'll be coming down, all tribes on earth, they will see us coming.
So this trumpet, this trumpet stage,
yes,
the shouts, the voice, and the trumpet is another ministry.
It's a ministry that the bride, this one is only for the bride. To make us understand what is happening, because things will happen. The dead in Christ will rise first. We begin to see people anywhere. There must be some people to tell us what is happening. And that message, that trump, is what gives us the rapturing
body change.
And then give us the body change, and then we go.
The trump. So God will use men. I would love to ask, because at that point, it will not be the fivefold ministry.
No. It has gone beyond fivefold
ministry.
It has gone beyond fivefold ministry.
Okay.
Certainly.
Could I infer that it could even be this resurrected sense that God will use to minister to us?
Whatever it is, there will be a message. There will be ministry. We hear something. Definitely.
But it's only for rapturable candidates.
It is only for rapturable candidates. Because it will be something that will be done in the spiritual realm. Something that the spirit will have to contact. It will be, that's why they call it secret catching away.
Amen.
It will be secret catching away. So it is what will be happening. People outside will not know what is going on.
Wonderful. So the trump of God is another move of God.
Thank you.
So, okay, wow.
That is what gives us the rapturing faith.
So it's exactly,
it is what you hear. Faith Come by what?
By hearing.
So you will hear something now for you to have the faith for the body change.
Hallelujah.
Which you call the rapturing faith.
Mm. So this is the order. The shouts, the restoration ministry going on now.
Thank you.
Then when the fruits are perfected, the archangel's voice that raises the dead saints.
Thank you.
Then the last stage, after the saints are resurrected, the trump of God.
Thank you very
another
much.
Ministry of God. God is saying something to us.
That will make us have faith. We must hear something to have that faith.
Wow. So is that why Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51, behold, I show you
it's a mystery.
We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
In a moment.
In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last
trump.
That statement, last trump, has always been a puzzle to me.
Yes.
At the last trump. Help us dissect it now, sir, because
that last trump, because that is the last message before we go home. And that takes place after
the dead arising up.
Yes.
For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible,
yes,
and we shall be changed. But it's at the last trump that our body will
exactly
change.
And that trump is not papa, 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 papa. It's a message.
It's a message. Because in Israel, the trumpets
gather.
Well, for messages.
For messages. And they are already trained to identify
the sound
of each trumpet.
Each message, each sound is.
We, the spiritual Jews, were not trained for trumpet. We are trained to hear the word through the men that he has sent.
Hmm. Hallelujah. Wow. So you just answered my question without me asking you. Are we expecting any other revival before we go?
That is the last thing we will expect.
The trump of
the
God.
The trump of God. We have because, always not been mentioning it.
Yes, sir.
Now.
In fact, some of
us. That's why we are updating. We are updating.
Some of us have thought it as the voice of ascension.
And that is to say, come up hither. It will all be incorporated in there. Because we will hear, come up hither. We will hear it. We will hear it.
Ah, this is another wine. Wow. This is interesting. The Lord has just given us a new wine today. Update in Revelation, the bride's revival.
Yes.
The trump of God that we've been silent about for so long a time, the Lord is now shining light in that part.
Exactly.
Wow. What more does the Lord have for us?
Amen.
Don't miss Rapture Watch. Don't miss our Bible studies. Because one of these days, God might just reveal the date of the rapture. Please don't miss it. Thank you so much, sir. I think you've given us something to go and ponder on.
Thank you very much.
I know some people who have questions. So please do join us on Monday night by 7 p.m. for any question you have, especially concerning these new revelations coming forth. We'd love to hear you. Maybe you even have a better understanding that you'd like to share with us. We'd love to receive from you. Thank you. A big thank you to all sponsors of Bright TV. You can see that light is shining and people can receive it because of what you are doing with your offerings. May the Lord reward you. Keep watching the Bright TV. God bless you.